July 10th, the holy 45 martyrs Leontius, Maurice, Alexander, Sicinius, and others, during the reign of the wicked emperor Licinius, who ruled the eastern half of the Byzantine Empire, there was a great persecution of Christians. In Armenia Nicopolis, St. Leontius, with several of his friends, appeared before Lysias, the representative of Emperor Licinius, and declared that they were Christians. "And where is your Christ?" Lysias asked. "Was he not crucified, and did he not die?" To that Saint Leontius replied, "Since you know that our Christ died, know also that he resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven." After a lengthy discussion about the faith, Lysias scourged them and threw them into prison and gave them neither food nor drink. Blessina, a benevolent Christian woman, brought them water and handed it to them through the window of the prison. An angel of God appeared to comfort and encourage them. When the time came for sentencing, two jailers and many other appeared before Lysias as converted Christians, totaling 45 in number. The judge sentenced all of them to death, but in this manner: first, that their arms and feet be severed with an axe, and then they be thrown into the fire. This horrible twofold punishment was carried out, and the souls of the holy martyrs took flight to their Lord, entering into eternal life. They honorably suffered and inherited the kingdom in the year 319 AD. Venerable Anthony of the Monastery of the Caves in Kiev. Anthony was the founder and father of monasticism in Russia. He was born in the small town of Chernigov, and at an early age left his home and went to Athos, the holy mountain, where he was tonsured a monk and lived a life of asceticism in the monastery Esfigmenu. In obedience to a heavenly appearance, the abbot sent Anthony to Russia to establish monasticism. Anthony chose a cave near Kiev. When those who were desirous of a monastic life gathered around him, he then appointed Theodosius as abbot, and he remained in the cave as a silentiary. By the blessing of God, the monastery increased and became the parent monastery of Russian monasticism. Anthony endured much evil both from men and demons, but he conquered all by his humbleness. He possessed the great gift of discerning thoughts and the future and healed the sick. He presented himself to the Lord in the year 1073 AD. At the age of 90, leaving his spiritual nursery to bring beneficial fruit to the Orthodox people of Russia throughout the ages. The translation of the Honorable Vesture, Robe of Our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of the suffering of our Lord Jesus for mankind, there was to be found among the ranks of the Roman army in Jerusalem a Georgian named Elias from the town of Mitsketa. His mother had heard of Christ and in her heart believed in him. Seeing her son off to the army in Palestine, she counseled him not to do anything against Christ. When the Lord was nailed to the cross, the sound of the hammer on Golgotha reached the ears of Elias's mother in the town of Mitsketa. Hearing this sound, she cried out, "Woe is me, because I did not die before this time. Death would have rescued me from this dreadful sound." Saying this, she fell dead. Elias at that time was beneath the cross, and with the other soldiers cast lots for the tunic, robe of Christ. He won the vesture and brought it to Mitsketa and gave it as a gift to his sister Sidonia. She, having heard about the death of the Lord and that her brother was a participant of the shedding of innocent blood, fell dead holding the tunic of the Lord firmly in her hands, and no one was able to tear it away, but were compelled to bury the tunic with her. A cedar tree sprouted from her grave, from which poured forth a sweet-smelling healing myrrh. In time the cedar tree fell, and the place was forgotten. Following her prayer, Saint Nina found this place with the help of a pillar of fire. The baptized Emperor Marian erected a church there, dedicating it to the holy apostles. In the year 1625 AD, the Shah Abbas took this tunic and sent it to Moscow as a gift to Prince Michael Feodorovich and Patriarch Philaret. This tunic was placed in the Cathedral Church of the Dormition, Assumption of the Blessed Virgin in Moscow. Hymn of Praise, the Mother of Elias.
The Mother of Elias counseled him, "Elias, O sight of my eyes, behold, you are entering the imperial army, precisely in the land of my forefathers. In that land the king has appeared, from of old awaited, Christ the Lord, by the prophets the Savior prophesied, to Georgia, news of him came. Unseen miracles he performs, and unheard of words he speaks. Among men establishing the kingdom of God, everywhere news of him is heard. Men and angels rejoice, but this joy is darkened by the evil malice of the Jewish elders, thought to kill the Savior. By the new curse the people oppressed. But my son, the sight of my eyes, in their evil do not enter. Into the blood of the just one do not enter. Time was passing in its course. One day the mother at prayer, the sound of the hammer on the cross she heard. The mother screamed as though in a live fire. O death, why did you not come to me sooner? That I do not that awful sound hear, that announces the death of the sinless Savior, and of the Jewish nation the curse. O son, O Elias, to your mother why did you not listen? Into the blood of the just one why did you enter? Having said this, the lamenting mother to the ground fell, to God her soul rendered.
Reflection. The thought of death is like a downpour of cold rain, which extinguishes the fire of passions. The psalmist David says, "For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." Psalm 49, verse 17. Who would not be ashamed when he sometimes sees, even among the unbelievers, a better comprehension of our earthly nothingness than with some Christians? When Caliph Saladin died, a crier, Talal, went before his coffin with a spear in his hand, and, on the spear, one of the emperor's shirts. And he cried out, "O great Saladin, who conquered all of Asia, and because of that caused many nations to tremble before him, and who conquered emperors, behold, of all his glory and of all his subjects, he takes nothing with him except this miserable shirt." Contemplation. To contemplate the miraculous appearance of God to Moses on Mount Sinai. Exodus 19. How Moses climbed the top of Mount Sinai and entered the darkness where God was. "I am coming to you in a dense cloud." Exodus chapter 19, verse 9. How the light of God is so great that, before it, all of nature and her light becomes darkness. How the heart of man is like Mount Sinai. In the darkness of the heart, there God encounters man. Homily about the duties of spiritual shepherds. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, in God, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, good heart, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. Here is the constitution for shepherds of the flock of Christ. In a few words, the holy apostle Peter unmasks three terrible passions which turn the shepherds of the flock of Christ into wolves. The passion of pride, not by constraint. The passion of greed, not for filthy lucre. And power, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Contrary to these pernicious passions, the apostle points out three virtues which must adorn the priest of God. The fear of God, but willingly in God. Zeal, but of a good heart. And service, being an example to the flock. The apostle gave this constitution not only as a teacher, but also as a prophet. Primarily, the centuries have revealed two types of shepherds. The first were those who, in their lofty positions of governing the church, were guided by their passions, pride, greed, and lust for power. And the second, those who were guided by the fear of God, zeal, and an example of service. From the former, the church suffered, but did not perish while they perished. From the latter, the church grew and advanced and shone forth in the world. The former are wolves, and the latter are shepherds. The former are enemies both of man and of God, and the latter are friends of man and of God. Christ, the chief shepherd, will seek an accounting both from the former and the latter concerning every sheep, i.e., of every human soul, and will justly recompense everyone according to their merit. Pride, greed, and lust for power in so-called shepherds will be rewarded by eternal fire, and the fear of God, mercy, and service of the true shepherds will be rewarded by eternal rejoicing. O Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, help the shepherds of your spiritual flock that, to the end, they may fulfill the commandment of your holy apostle. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.